So this is the second of our inculcating self-esteem into ourselves class. And I found a quote. I don't know where I saw it. Oh, I think I saw this on the Mahsom Lafi emails. Do any of you get that? It's a daily email that inspires you about guarding your tongue or something. And then you can click on the link and say the special prayer that helps you guard your tongue and take upon yourself guarding your tongue for the 1 hour between 9 and 10, which is a daily thing. So the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation sends that out every day. So here's a quote from Rabbi Nachman.
9 and 10 in the morning.
9 and 10 in the morning. We're supposed to be extra careful.
Is there some reason why they picked that hour?
I'm guessing because it's maybe an easier hour. Maybe your first hour at work, so you'd be, you know, checking, like it's more serious, you're done with the morning stuff, and hopefully, I'm just guessing, I don't know for sure, but it's 9 to 10, no matter where you are in any time zone. So it's a thing that they're trying to, then I guess it's the beginning of your day too, so it's the beginning of your thoughtful part of the day also, so hopefully it will carry over a little bit. So to be a person of truth, be swayed neither by approval nor disapproval. Work at not needing approval from anyone, and you'll be free to be who you really are. So I thought it was apropos, especially considering some of the turmoil, that part of feeling strong when there's pressure, and part of being able to do what's right is having a strong sense of self-esteem. It's really knowing that I'm doing the best with the tools that I have, the very best with the tools that I have, and I'm able to walk the line sometimes alone. And I think that's a very important quality that we as Jews need to have, is being able to be alone in our walk. Because while we are part of a community, part of the quality of the Jew is aloneness. And that was really trailblazed by Abraham and Sarah. They're the first ones who were called Hebrews. Avraham and Sarah, ha-ivri, and ivri means the one from the other side, right? So other side of the world, they stood against everybody. So that's one of the first qualities of the Jew, is that they're able to stand up alone against the tide. So even though Avraham and Sarah did not found the nation, because that was Yaakov and his family that founded the nation, so although Avraham and Sarah were very powerful as individuals, they were not the ones who founded the nation, and neither was their child Yitzchak, did not found the nation.
Is that my phone?
Oh, yeah.
That's cute. And then I'll feel it.
No problem.
My daughter's babysitting.
Oh, okay. No problem. Anyway, so it did take the family and the community, because it took the 12 tribes and their families, really, to create a nation, and it was the nation that made the impact on the world. So we do need to be part of a nation also, and that's our name, B'nai Yisrael. But we really have three names. We're Hebrews, we're Jews, and we're B'nai Yisrael. Right? Those are the three things Jews are called. The Israelites, the Hebrews, and the Jews. Three different names. So the Hebrews are the ones who can stand alone against the tide. The Israelites are the ones who are part of the nation that transforms the world. And the Jews, that speaks to our essential quality, Yehudi, as thinkers, as people who recognize the good. Lehodot means both to recognize and to think, to admit and to think. So all those different names speak to our different essential qualities, and we need to be able to live them all, live into them, to be able to withstand the different things that we need to go through. So I think it's very important to be able to be an ivri sometimes and walk a path alone when you've considered carefully the path that you're walking. So, and there is a way, maybe I should just say parenthetically, one way of considering the path that we're walking to make sure that we're walking the correct path is by surrounding ourselves with, there's a triangle of advisors. So we have we're supposed to asela harav. So that's either rabbi or rabbitson, but somebody above us, and aselacha chaver, right? Knelacha chaver, a friend, so a peer, and then v'ha'amidu talmidim harbe, and you should stand up many students. Whether they're children or friends that you teach, but so there's somebody looking up to you, somebody looking down upon you, not in a negative way, and somebody looking across at you, and that creates a triangle around you that should help you triangulate your path and make sure that you're walking in the correct direction. Okay, so with that, I want to just discuss six of the 13 anima means, six of the 13 principles of faith very quickly in terms of what they mean for self-esteem or what they mean for me. I think one of the things that we talked about last week was that we are lacking and that it's okay to be lacking. We're born in the world not whole, because that's our invitation to complete ourselves, right? So if we're going to be co-creators with Hashem, we have to have parts that need completion. So, and to embrace that, that that's okay. To work on it, for sure. But it's okay to be there where we're not whole. Okay, so just these six, and these, I just gave them the right numbers. So the first one, and of course, Microsoft Word has all these bugs, you know, so it wouldn't line up for me.
And
I know, and then the font changes, and it's like, oh, forget it. Okay, so Hashem is the creator and the ruler of the world. That's the first one. So that really means, in this case, he made you exactly how you are. He runs the world how it's supposed to be. The way the world is, the way your family is, the way you are, is because you've chosen to be that way. The way your family is, yes, you've invested in it, but it's that way because Hashem rules the world. You know, the children that you got are not because, and they're not the way they are because you made them that way. The family that you have, the in-laws that you have, you can't take total credit and you can't take total blame for how your kids are. You know, they come into the world needing you as a parent, and you have to work with that. Your siblings come in needing you as a sibling, whether you're close to them or far from them. And your parents need you. The shidduchs are made by Hashem. God makes all the matches, not just you and a spouse, but you and your children, you and your parents, you and your siblings, you and your neighbors, and your body and your soul is another match that Hashem makes. So Hashem makes the matches. So Hashem created it all, and he runs the world. So you can relax a little bit. It's not your fault, and it's not to your credit, the way a lot of things are. So you don't have to, that was part of what you discussed last week, right? Do we have too high of a self-esteem? So it's not necessarily our credit. If our kids are coming out great, so yes, it's nice. We take pleasure in that, but we try not to take pride in it.
Well, we must have done something right to help the kids along the way.
Yeah, maybe. There are plenty of kids who come out great where their parents are rats. I'm not saying that any of us are. Yes, and there are plenty of kids who are horrible and their parents are great. Right? Rabbi Rieti said that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree unless there's a storm. And we're living in a storm. So we don't know exactly. So it is a storm. So yes, we want to invest.
Expect us to do, put in our shtadlus?
Yes. But the results are Hashem's, not ours. So we are responsible for the efforts, but we're not responsible for the results. But we are responsible when in putting in our hishtadlut, our hishtadlus, we are responsible to look at the situation and react to that. You know, this kid seems like he needs therapy. This kid seems like he needs more discipline. This kid seems like he needs a longer leash, right? Each one needs a different thing. We have to look and we have to do and we have to get advice and we have to work on it. But in the end, the results are not us. What we're responsible for in the end is our efforts, the choices that we make. We're always responsible for that. But we're not responsible for the results. So, because the results aren't up to us. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos, lo alecha hamlecha legmor, velo ata ben chorin lehi batel mimena. It's not upon you to finish the job, because you can't. But you can't stop trying. So the efforts are always your responsibility, constantly. And you can never stop them. You can never say, I'm done, ever, ever, ever. Because you never arrive. But
so how can you say that your efforts don't affect the outcome?
So they seem like they do, and I'm not saying they don't affect. I'm saying we're not responsible for. Hashem is in charge of the outcome. But they may well affect it. So then why do it? Because we're responsible for our efforts.
Okay. So you know, like once I heard an analogy or whatever, that in some way, I don't know, like it helps me, that, for example, Hashem tells you, wants you, whatever, to, you know, like, everybody's staying here, and he wants you to go to that place. And there are some people who see that and who do go there, and there are others who just turn around and go the other direction, but they go around the globe, and they result in being in the same place, but they result as being kind of like, well, not stupid, not losers, not fools, but, you know, like, so the result is not really
right.
Like what we do, but, you know, like what we are as a result.
Well, so I'll give you an example. I mean, we have a concept of propitious times, of times that are more given to certain results, of months that have certain energies where certain things can happen. So, and of star constellations and energy flows, there's this whole thing about that. So Haman understood that, and he cast lots in order, he wanted to destroy the Jews. So he cast lots to figure out when's the right month to destroy the Jews. When will the energy be just right? So there'll be a convergence of star energy and human energy that will be able to properly quash the Jews. So he cast lots to discern that. But Hashem is in charge, right? So he made the lot fall in Adar. Adar is the best month for the Jews, not the weakest. We're the strongest in Adar. So it was the worst month for him. And yet he thought it would be the best month. So he planned it all for Adar. But Hashem made it land there. He's in charge of the results. So even though Haman understood some of the science of the occult and how to cast the lot so he would find the right time, Hashem is still in charge. And so he made it land rather than just thwart. I mean, he did thwart, but in so many different ways. But part of the thwarting of the plan was not just having Haman die of a heart attack right there, but have him choose the month that's the best month for the Jews. So that the energy level would be high. So Hashem is in charge of the results. But we are definitely in charge of the process. And that's all we're held responsible for. So I know it sounds difficult, but we're not in charge of the results. We're not in charge of them. You can't make it happen. It's not possible. You can do your best. You could pay your $200,000 and invest your 14 years in your child's Jewish education, and and they can walk away from it if they want to.
Right.
Or they can stay in it, but not know why. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a survey for years where I asked kids who were born religious, who are still religious, at age 20, what would you do if you found out you're not Jewish? And I asked this just because, what would you do if you found out you're not Jewish? Right, so I asked this question of 20-year-olds, meaning post 200,000 and 14 years, right? Post-seminary for girls or during Beis Medrash for boys, what would you do? And so not few said I would convert. Most said I'm not sure. If they did say I would convert, it was often because what else would they do? Like that's the only life they know. Everybody they know is Jewish, like everything they do. But those who were thoughtful said, you know, I'd like to look around first before I'd make a decision. To me, it was very distressing because I wanted to hear that after that type of investment that the child would be able to answer, absolutely, I know this is correct. Even though I have never studied any other religion on the planet, I know for sure this is the right way and I absolutely want to be a part of it. And that was not the universal answer that I got.
Well, you could do the same thing with people who've gone to college or have chosen a career path and then changed their career path.
No, that's totally different. That's like asking about tshuva, because they chose it. I wanted to ask people who didn't choose it.
Okay.
People who were born into it, educated fully in it, acculturated fully in it, didn't know anything else, and after their full Jewish education, ask them that question. That was the specific group that I was asking.
Okay.
You know, just to see what was their answer before they made a choice in life. Mm-hmm. What was their answer? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying you can invest a lot, but you don't know what the results will be. Right? So, and hopefully they'll grow into it. I did find that by the 40s, by age 40s, the answer was consistent, I would convert. But it wasn't consistent until the 40s.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That was interesting. And by the 40s, they could give answers like, I have seen enough to know that this is the best life. Mm-hmm. But even in the 30s, that wasn't the answer. Certainly not in the 20s. But by the 40s, it was a consistent, I would convert. And in the 20s, there was some, and for me, a kosher answer was, I'd get a cheeseburger and then go, and then convert. Tell me you want to try something. Try some shrimp. Okay, go mix swimming, uncover your hair, whatever. But then, you know, like, then you're going to the mikvah, so, but. Okay, anyway. So it's important to understand Hashem runs the world. He's in charge of it. The results are in his hands. What's in our hands are our efforts. And that's the only thing that's in our hands. And that's what we're held responsible for, is our efforts. Yes, we can use what we see to adjust our action, and we're held responsible for that. but the end result doesn't belong to us. So we shouldn't take pride in it, and we shouldn't beat ourselves up because of it. But we can take pleasure in it. Okay, second one. Hashem is first and Hashem is last. These are really the super abbreviated animamins. I'm just hoping that you recognize them a little bit here. So Hashem is the first and Hashem is last, which means that before and after creation, there is nothing besides Hashem. Nothing. So he'll always be there, and he's all that matters. So on the one hand, that can make us feel very small. If he's all that matters, so then what do I matter at all? Where's the self-esteem in that? And yet, as we'll see at the end of the sheet, he made me. And so I must matter, because if he's all that matters and he chose me and he made me, you could say anything you want. You don't have to. Anyway, he's all that matters. Okay, number 10. Hashem knows all of man's deeds and thoughts. So there's no hiding, just working with what you've got. So he knows everything. He made you exactly how he wants to make you. He can see everything into your life. So you can't avoid who you are. You can't avoid who you are. And you can spin all kinds of webs around yourself to make you think that he doesn't see and that it doesn't matter. But it does in the end. And that's what this animamin is about, is that Hashem knows everything that we're thinking. So Hashem knows our desires, even if we can't accomplish them. So our desires are totally within our reach. And we're held accountable for our desires, too, what we really, really want. So that's important to know.
What does that mean?
I really, really want to go on for our desires.
I mean, really want to live in Israel, but I can't. My husband's an attorney. He can't make a parnassa there. He doesn't speak that language the way he speaks this language. The laws are different there. It's a 5-year no-income stage there. So there's no way that our family in this position could make aliyah. But to really, really want is completely up to me. To move there is not up to me. I have teenagers who couldn't make it. There's all kinds of reasons why it wouldn't work out well at all. Elishev and Yoshua are married now. Yoshua needs to stay here. He can't make aliyah. So we're here for a while, however long. Maybe we'll be able to make aliyah at some point. Maybe not. But whether I really, really want it, that's completely up to me. I could give up wanting it. Right? But if I desire it or not, or if I do give it up, because I could over all these years. I mean, I used to want it so bad that I had dreams really so literally. It took me there. I was moving into a dorm. I was married, but I was single in the dreams. Moving into a dorm, going to yeshiva again, walking the streets of Yerushalayim, I felt it. I was really there. Overnight, it gave me energy to keep going in Chutz La'aretz because I wanted to be there so badly. So I could, and I don't have those dreams anymore. Mm-hmm. But the dreams are there because of the passion. But you could let go of the passion after 25 years of living here. And you could just say, whatever, I'm here, so I'm here. Or you could work on keeping up the desire because the love of the land is so important. And working on that desire might be something that you'd want to choose to do because your desire is totally in your control.
You're saying that Hashem knows your desires.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hashem knows them, so we're held responsible for them. Our desires are up to us, and so we are held responsible for our desires.
So we should meaning, like if we have a negative desire,
So
things that we shouldn't desire.
So not hear hurim, No, that's called a hear hur, that kind of desire, like passing cinnamon and saying, I wish I could have one of those. That's not. But if you say, I'm so tired of keeping kosher. I just want to eat treif. As soon as I get a chance, I'm gonna eat treif. I want to eat treif. I'm done with kosher. But I can't now, just because my husband would kill me, and I'm not gonna get killed. So I'm gonna just, whatever it is. So then you're developing a real desire. That's working on something, not just a thought. It's okay. And even the Rambam says it's fine to say cinnamon, yum. I'm not eating it because I keep kosher. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That kind of desire is fine, but to desire something, to really yearn for it, to want it. Cinnabon. Yes, you can make your own. Mm-hmm. But you're in the mall and you smell it and you want it. They have the special smell. They pour in the smell machine that blows it out into the mall so that you can. I'm serious. They do. Right, right. So, right.
Can you turn off the tape for a second?